This is Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. 2019 was declared the International Year of Indigenous Languages by the United Nations. In February, we spoke with a group called Maidu Independent Theater. It uses music and theater to teach Maidu young people their ancestral language. We talked with two students, Travis Lang and Isabella Della Torre, as well as the organizer and artist himself, Alan Wallace. Alan talked about his own background and his goals for the theater group.
Well, I was born and raised in the Auburn area until I went in the Army. But my sister and I decided to pursue preserving our culture as best we could. And she took genealogy and sites, site protection, and I took ethnography and language. So I'm still on the language thing and trying to figure out how to involve young people in. I tried the classroom setting type of thing, and it was so boring that nobody stuck around, even me.
And when he says it's boring, that's really something.
Oh, yeah.
It was boring.
Wasn't the funnest for everybody.
They hung it out, but then we came up with this idea of a play. It was a real simple play, but these guys got interested in the music and stuff, so that's kind of how it started, was more or less music, and it was sort of more fun, which is kind of why we're doing what we're doing now, is to keep it fun.
Could I have all three of you explain to me about the dialects and the way you're learning the Nishinan language connected to the Maidu community?
Yeah, my understanding there's four different dialects in Nishinan. So ours is, what would you call it, the Auburn area, I guess, version of Nishinan. So
Southern, they call
it. And this is the one you grew up with, Alan?
Yeah, even in within that, there's a whole bunch.
Yeah, and by, I guess, like village or little area where you're at, there's different pronunciation things like squirrel, tsamba. It can also be chamba, and that can be even just within family members. So there's just little dialectical differences like that.
Isabella, did you grow up with any of this language?
Honestly, not really. Not until like fifth grade, I think, is when I really started getting into it. At my school, we have a class. It's called culture class, and they teach some of the language, like they teach Nishinan and Miwok mostly. And yeah, I used to dance as well.
I think I said Nishinan earlier.
It's another one of those dialectical things where Nishinan, it's really up to preference.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear both of them interchanged pretty frequently.
It's like potato and potato.
Yeah, yeah.
Tomato.
The point is to be able to communicate, and with using music, did that kind of open up the doorway to all of this being able to happen?
I came on the tail end of the classroom setting stuff, so that was my first introduction. It was real shortly after I joined the group that we got into doing this little play that we performed at Auburn Big Time Powwow in, I think, 2011, 2012, something like that. It was just a lot of fun to do the songs and stuff like that, and we were remembering the words of the songs and singing them kind of in between practices and stuff more so than doing the classroom setting type stuff. So the performance part of it makes it fun, and it's interactive in a different way.
We're going to listen to part of a story that you've performed called Salt Man.
We did a band thing for a while, for a few years, where we did some contemporary style music with these older songs. We did a couple covers and stuff like that. So I played guitar for that. So the project we're working on now is we actually have, as musicians, we weren't very good. So it was pretty mediocre, really, music-wise. But now we actually have the opportunity to work with Simone Wilson, who is just this incredible creator. And like, you'll hear it when we play the music or whatever, but it's a higher level than what we could create. So our part in more of this is the storytelling and the performance aspect of it, because we have a super professional guy doing the music with us right now.
All right. So we're going to listen to the music version of Salt Man first. And then after that, we're going to hear Salt Man as a spoken story in a recording that goes back to the 1950s. So first is the modern group from Auburn and their version of Salt Man.
Bye.
music is beautiful. And you started singing as we were listening, Isabella, so you're actually in that group. You're singing and dancing, correct? Yeah. Another thing that music helped me learn in that moment is that you're all related here, aren't you?
Yeah. In one way or another, we're all related in the group. My roommate, actually, someone I met during the language group, he's Konkau Maidu. So I know we're related, but I'm just not sure how. So we just say cousin or uncle. Or
Alan, that song and story is based on a recording by your great-grandmother,
yes,
Lizzie Enos.
Mm-hmm.
I want to listen to the recording of her voice, and this happened in the 1950s?
Yeah, probably late, or could have been even the early 60s, but I think it's the late 1950s.
Okay, let's listen.
Acha hunam lain peni mem pusopan mai panam ku masana ba ku mice panen ku manai mune hetam ku anai bam ba ku mem ham ku macai musem mui mo benesak mu.
That was the voice of Lizzie Enos. How is it, Isabella, to think that she made that recording and that's what you're basing your music and performance on today?
Honestly, it's just kind of crazy because it's our culture. And it's something that's really special to us, and just kind of hearing her voice is like, wow, this is not too long ago also. So, like, it's just hard to think about in a way. I don't know how to explain it.
Did you understand what she was saying?
Bits and pieces, yeah.
Yeah. And is that the dialect, that's the version of the language you grew up with?
Yes.
So do you understand every word as she speaks it?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I mean, she's
a little faster than I am, yeah. But...
well, she phrases stuff because she's a fluent speaker, so she may tell this story differently every time because it's not always quite the same, but she has such a command of the language, she makes multiple versions of stuff because of just her fluency.
That's Alan Wallace, also in the studio, Isabella Della Torre and Travis Lang. A couple quick questions. Why was it, I know there's a big story about this, but the short answer to why this language almost disappeared in the 20th century?
Gunpowder.
Wow, now I need the story.
The gold rush was a huge factor during that 5-year period when the gold rush hit. Was absolutely devastating to our population and the culture in general, like 95% of our people died in that time. And then after that, the missions, boarding schools, all that kind of stuff. There's a reason why we have almost no speakers left anymore.
Native American children were forced into foster homes and were told
slavery,
they weren't allowed to speak.
Yeah.
So what about groups that are trying to reinstate or be protected in this language, Alan?
Well, there's been a pretty good movement, and a number of tribes have been working on languages, period. And ours, I think there's only one documented speaker that was in the record at the time, so it's considered an endangered language. But there was a lot of material that was recorded and printed. And I think myself, my cousin Wanda and her mom, there was a guy that was doing one of the dialects from North, Farrell Cunningham, but he has since died. So there's a group in Nevada City. I think they're still doing stuff. And I think some of the folks in Nevada City and some of the folks with the Colfax, Todd Valley and Shingle Springs are working on the language, you know. Everybody's kind of got a little deal, you know. It's just, it's all good. Anything anybody does is great, you know. And hopefully, you know, one of these days we'll get together and kind of have this big group meeting and just discuss it, everything in the language.
That was a conversation with members of Maidu Independent Theater. We talked with them in February of 2019. There's more at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio.